Not only were sadism and sadistic sadists named after him, but the Marquis de Sade was a writer.
Long ago, I abandoned my masterpiece, a roll of paper 30 yards long, which I completely filled with minute handwriting. It vanished when the Bastille fell. It vanished as everything written, everything thought or planned will disappear.
In addition to the 90 feet of fiction he wrote on toilet paper in prison, the Marquis de Sade wrote theater in his insane asylum with fellow inmates playing the parts.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica. Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica at sexplorationwithmonica.com. Now, at the Brava Theater in San Francisco, in a limited engagement until July 29th, Marat Sade plays the fury, passion, and philosophy of the Marquis de Sade off the doomed dictator of the French Revolution, Jean-Paul Marat.
What is that, Nazi Simone?
Could it be counter-revolutionary Charlotte Corday coming to stab you in your bathtub? But both men are so tortured, and Charlotte is headed for the guillotine already. Who wins the revolution? Listen to whom Marat decries as traitors to the people.
Our trusted minister of finance, the celebrated Monsieur Cambon, is issuing fake banknotes, thus increasing inflation and diverting a fortune into his own pocket. And I am told Perjot, our most intelligent banker, is in league with the English. And in his armored vaults, is organizing a center of espionage against us.
That's enough. We are living in 1808.
And the good doctor cuts him off. It may be 1808, but does it remind you of anything? Bubble burst, big bank bailouts and bonuses, inflated securities, the dispossessed occupying Wall Street and the 99%.
Those who have jobs must work and sweat for agents, stockbrokers, speculators, fellow citizens. Did we fight for the freedom of those who now exploit us again? Our country is in danger. We talk about France, but who is France for? We talk about freedom, but who is this freedom for?
And I love how perfect it is, you know, for our time, right? Well, the revolution and everything.
I know, except that it's very 9 months ago. It's like the Occupy came and went, and it's all of a sudden, where are you? I need you for this show.
Right. Like, suddenly it's like, Occupy what? What are Occupy we occupying what? Something?
No, well, you know, everybody has a very short attention span right now. Everybody's on their devices, and like, and then it's over. But maybe this will help bring that spirit back.
Right.
And the one thing we wanted to do is the show actually opens in the play on July 13th.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's like we had to do that.
Right.
And Friday the 13th, I mean, how more cosmic can you get?
No, it's perfect. So we're talking right now with Mark Huestis. He's the producer of Marat Sade. And Marat Sade was actually written by the Marquis de Sade in an insane asylum, much like the play is unfolding in front of us.
Well, not this particular play, but the Marquis de Sade did do plays in the Asylum of Charlatan. And this was a play by Peter Weiss, who was a German playwright that was done in the 60s in New York, that was sort of a contemplation of what the Marquis de Sade would have written had he written the history of the French Revolution.
So for those of us who have forgotten what happened in the French Revolution, it's sort of like a dialogue between Marat Sade and between Jean-Paul Marat and the Marquis de Sade.
Well, it's a rumination about the difference and the convergence of the political versus the personal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're diametrically opposed, and sometimes they can kind of connect. And in the end, you will see that neither side wins, that both of these people represent sides that are equally valid. And we try to make it really balanced and, you know, have the audience make up their minds as opposed to us imposing that on them.
Well, they're both so tortured characters. They're both in so much pain and you know, beating themselves up.
I mean,
figuratively.
You know, I mean, please, when do you see a live whipping on a stage?
Right.
And in the second act, you are going, I won't give too much away, but you're going to see copulation with real penises,
oh,
real breasts.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
the whole deal. You get your money's worth with this show.
Interesting. And you actually staged it so that it would be on the day,
yes,
to the day.
It was, that was, I started working on this in November, and I went to Russell Blackwood, the director, in December, and we kind of figured out our scheduling. I said, wouldn't it be great on July 13th? And then it was Friday the 13th, and we're like, whoa!
So let's talk a little bit about when this part, this play was written. It was written by Peter Weiss back in the 60s, so that was...
It was written in 63. It was on Broadway in 65. It won the Tony Award for Best Play. It was a huge hit on Broadway. David Merrick, actually, who produced Hello, Dolly, produced Marat Sade, believe it or not. There was a movie made in 1967 with Glenda Jackson, and since then there haven't been a lot of productions of it. And, you know, it's very dense, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and so some people just don't, it's not their thing.
Well, there's a lot of words in it, and you have to be paying attention to what the words are.
And you know what's great for me? I've seen it so many times, and I've been to almost every rehearsal, and every time I watch it, there's something that sticks out.
It's right.
And something different, and it's like, oh, I get what they're saying now.
What was the line, the guillotine is... like a compassionate mistress or something, like it's gentle compared to actual existence. And you're like, oh.
Well, the French Revolution was not a pretty thing, too, and it just shows the best and worst of humanity, and the play sort of represents that. And I think, you know, with what we see in the world right now with revolutionary new movements, like in Egypt, for example, there's such brilliance and beautiful, you know, it's beautiful to watch. And then they just trash each other and kill each other, and they're out for blood, and, you know, it becomes really evil and horrible. And so that's what the play is about.
Right. And, of course, the ideals are so gorgeous.
Yes.
Liberation
right,
and freedom.
Right, right, right.
But then everyone's dying.
Yes. Well, and everybody wants what they want, too. And that's right. What the play, I love all the speeches about this one wants this one wants that.
He wants
this
a fish.
Right.
Wants a
and shorter
the soup's
wife. Burnt.
The soup was still burnt, even after the revolution.
Really?
Why? Yeah. I mean, and why can't we just be happy?
I don't know if that's in the human condition to just be happy. And you know what? I don't think I would want to live my life just happy. It's nice to have those
no
peaks
Prozac
and valleys.
No Prozac for you?
I'm on Zoloft, my dear.
It's better, yeah.
Many years, for many years. And you know what? About Zoloft, it gets rid of your sex drive, and I love that because... it was driving me too crazy, so.
Well, you know, there's a lot of complexities in sex. I think that's why there's so much, you know, and that's the Marquis de Sade.
Yeah.
He really was talking about, like, you know, the good girls and the bad girls.
Right.
And
writhing
know, the
bodies.
And
yeah.
And,
well, his drawings also, I mean, there were a lot of drawings done to his writings, and they're gorgeous and very pornographic. Mm-hmm. I mean, much more shocking than some stuff that we've seen now.
Yeah, how did you find out who was the real Marquis de Sade? How
well,
did you
just
find
do,
that character?
I mean, everything's on Wikipedia right now, or Google, just Google or anything. But, you know, I love his creation because he's such a perv in this. And it's like in the movie, he's very
a lot
stately.
Of cock-rabbit.
Yeah, and I love his I love his belly, too, you know, that you can just see the peekaboo of the woman who made the costumes named Beaver Bauer. She and I did theater in the 70s together, so we've known each other since like 1977. And she usually doesn't do these kind of productions. She does ACT and Teatro Zanzani. But I begged and pleaded and got on my hands and knees and said, you must do this. And I think she's very happy tonight.
Tell us about the character of Charlotte Corday. She's going to...
Well, yes, yeah, she's gonna
stab
him.
And
you know what? I'm a gay guy, and I find... Bonnie, who is playing, she is fucking hot. I mean, she is.
I can see why that guy can't keep his hands off her.
And she has humor, too. It's like in the movie, it's like, oh, and she's like smiles and she's sexy. And, you know, I'm telling you.
Well, it's weird with everyone being played by a crazy person. Uh-huh. You see all this like, okay, they're really a crazy person and they're playing this character. And so there's a lot of layers.
And now during intermission, they're just throw peddlers. So
are
there's,
they?
Yeah, so there's just all sorts of layers.
Well, thank you so much, Mark Hustis. It's been great to have you on Sexploration.
Oh, my God,
Monica.
This like the microphone little, looks like a pussy.
Well, it's like my little mic muff.
There you
keeps
go.
Keeps you from popping your peas. So,
I think I'm changing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Oh, it's really fun. Thank you.
Now it's time to take the next step and choose a man who will rule for you.
Hurrah for dictator.
Moron.
Dictator! That word must be abolished. I hate anything to do with masters and slaves. I'm talking about a leader
who in this hour of crisis...
He tried to incite them to new murders!
We do not murder! We kill in self-defense.
I'm here in the front row with Bonnie Suval, who played Charlotte Corday in Marat Saad. And everybody loved your performance and said it was better than Glenda Jackson, who played it in the movie, which is a big compliment.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And so what really brought you to this role? Were you really excited to play Charlotte Corday?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's just a really interesting thing as an actor to play a narcoleptic playing someone else.
Right.
So that's really...
So you're a character in an insane asylum, and then there's also this plot about the French Revolution.
Right. You know, no big deal.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some Marquis de Sade action.
Yeah. With some whipping and all that good
totally.
Stuff.
You got to whip the Marquis de Sade.
Yep. So, I mean, but that in and of itself is interesting. And also, you know, I think that the actual character of Charlotte Corday is, you know, one of the original sort of riot girl feminists, you know, and so myself, I was really excited to play something like that, you know. And there are certain constrictions being a narcoleptic that you have to deal with,
yeah.
You know, but it's nice to go
what
through.
What are your triggers? What's going to make you fall asleep in the middle of the stage?
Exactly.
Kind of thing,
yeah. But it's nice that the way that it's written at the end, you know, she gets to finally find her power and, you know, have this big moment where she's the big savior, you know, which is awesome.
Right. So as you are watching the play, you kind of are not sure who to root for. I mean, you're kind of, maybe you're rooting for the Marquis de Sade. He's so intelligent. He has so many, you know, bold ideas. And then you root for Jean-Paul Marat, who is, you know, the champion of the revolution. And maybe they're going to feed the hungry finally. But then you kind of start to realize that there's really no justice for anyone.
Right, and I think that that's a really good parallel to what's happening now, you know, with the Occupy movement and Obamacare and all of these things. Mm-hmm. It's like all of the things in this play are, you can find parallels to what is happening right now. I mean, it's so interesting that it was written in the 60s and there were parallels then. And the parallels were with the French Revolution. And now it's even, you know, trifold. So, I mean, it's amazing that the more things change, the more they really do stay the same. I mean, it's kind of horrifying in a way, you know.
Well, that still there's this vast inequality between the rich and the poor. And if you have money, then you have power. And it's not really a big shift. Like, there's not really a shift. And I mean, maybe the name of the government is going to change, but...
Yeah, and there are some really specific moments in the play that are so effective. When you hear them, I mean, it just seems like it's written right now, you know. Mm-hmm. Things like, we demand that the people who've caused the war pay the cost of it. I mean, things like that.
Yeah,
it's just,
totally. The audience totally started clapping at that
yeah,
moment.
I mean, I mean, it's hard to be on stage and not be like,
yeah!
Fuck
yeah!
Right!
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, and it's really rare that you find a play that really kind of enrages and excites people in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. So
what do you think of the kind of the use of sex and sexual energy in this play? Because there's some sexual energy.
There is, but I mean...
Copulation.
Right?
That was hilarious.
Yes.
It's like, oh, that's his penis. Oh, yes, it... Woo!
Those are some...
Oh,
my. Some breasts. Yeah.
Ah, oh, some breasts.
Well, I mean, I think that it's used throughout in various ways. And, you know, I think it's, you know, parallels with the Marquis de Sade and, mm-hmm. and his history of, you know, writing all of these things. And because he is the author, mm-hmm. you know, these are, yeah, and, you know, and you can also think, like, because of the way that Corday is treated in this, she's molested and she's thrown around and she's, you know, people are grabbing her tits and, like, feeling her up and stuff.
Yeah, that guy with pink hair was doing a lot of touching you, and I thought it might not be consensual, and I was hey.
So, I mean, and...
Tell him to stop if you need him to stop.
and so things like that are, you know, also interesting to think about in terms of, like, what does happen in a revolution, like, who are kind of... under the radar, and like what can happen during these times when people are paying attention to the big thing over here that everyone's trying to make you look at than what's really happening in the streets and with the people. I mean, I think that those are, again, interesting things to look at, you know, in comparison to what's happening now. And, right. You know, it's nice to have, you know,
weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Or like, everybody think about gay marriage, but don't think about what's actually happening here.
Don't
you
think
know?
About... You corporations know. That are now people or,
right.
and can control everything.
Right, and you know that whole thing where the woman was called a slut because she was taking birth control. But then the whole argument was that she was a slut, and that's not even the point. The point is that everyone should have birth control, and not you can be a slut. Who cares? Like so, I mean, it's things like
say look slut at like big, it's a bad thing.
Right, look at the big thing over here, right. and don't pay attention to what's happening here. I mean, and I think that those are all you know really interesting things that happen on stage here, you know, like look at the tits over here, but don't pay attention to what's really happening,
right.
you know.
So how do you think that, like, as we're watching the Marquis de Sade and the French Revolution unfold, what are the really important things that we should take to our own personal, like, what is the Marquis de Sade trying to tell us to do now?
Well, I think his main point in the play is to show that no side wins, that these are all
conflict, right?
Right, these are all arguments, mm-hmm. These are all various sides, and these are all ways of thinking, mm-hmm. and it's more of a, instead of telling you what to think, a presentation of ideas and you know, open discourse, and you know, to maybe try to facilitate discourse with people, you know. I think that's kind of the point of the play, you know, more than to tell you what's best, you know.
Do you think Peter Weiss really meant the character of Charlotte Corday to be kind of a feminist statement, or is that just something that you've layered on top of it? And by the way, I love it, and you should keep it there, by the way.
It's awesome.
You know, I'm not sure, but to me, like, reading the play, mm-hmm. That's just what I get from it, and knowing who Charlotte Corday is, you know. When I watched the movie, I decided I didn't want to play it the same way as Glenda Jackson, even though she's a fantastic actress. I thought that there could be more power mm-hmm. behind her, mm-hmm. you know, more intention, mm-hmm. you know, if you will. So
though she's falling asleep all the time.
Right. But when she's awake, she's
got,
everybody's
got something to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, everybody's got a moment of clarity, you know.
Right.
So I think that, you know, and it's also a nice thing to be able to fight against the constant pull of the male figures that are attacking her physically.
Right. Like her husband is all over her and kind of assaulting her,
right.
really.
Right, and if you look, so is Desaad at points,
right.
like
yeah,
forcing
totally.
Her to watch torture when mm-hmm. she's, you know, obviously distraught. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's nice to, at the end, for her to have moments where she's just, like, finally come into her own. And, well, I think in this play, it's more that she's crazy and she's kind of, like, fused herself with the character of Corday by the second act, and she's sort of thinking she is Corday. But like I said, I think of Corday as a feminist, so
right.
that's how I want to play it, you
right.
know.
And Corday ends up being guillotined mm-hmm. at the end anyway.
Right. But
because
again,
she's kind of a member of the aristocracy also.
Well, she also knew that was going to happen, and so when you actually read about what happened in the revolution, she went there and she didn't try to escape. She knew what was going to happen to her. She said, I'm going to sacrifice myself in order to try to stop what is happening here. And that is amazing. You know, like, that's a real sacrifice to make, to sacrifice your entire self to try to save something that you think matters.
Right.
You know, I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't happen that often, you know? And so it's a really intense statement. And then, you know, I mean, the sad thing is that after she died, it just kept going on. But,
right.
you know, she was...
Right. So, and then funny, because as you're killing Marat, right, she's got her hand up in the air, the knife is in her hand, it's glinting in the stage lights, and she's about ready to plunge it into Marat's heart, and then suddenly they break into musical number the next
right.
50 years of the French Revolution,
right.
which is incredibly bloody.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's like a terrible thing to put in front of the two people who are trying to stop that or trying to create a new world to say, oh, well, guess what? All your work and all your suffering and sacrifice created nothing except more bloodshed. And so, you know, I think
both Marat and Corday mm-hmm. are feeling like, oh, there's still another 40, 50 yep. years, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's also a very interesting thing that is similar to what's going on now, you know? I mean, it's terrible and awful, but I mean,
but it's a musical,
but it's a musical,
it's okay,
so it's acceptable.
And yes. Look, there's boobies.
Yep. Tits and music make everything palatable.
Well, it is. Well, what's wonderful about it is that you can use tits and music to like show people what a truth is, you know, and like, here's another thing to think about, right?
For sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this play is it's a really it's entertaining, but it's also really important, you know, especially right now. And I just hope that people, you know, appreciate what we're trying to say to them mm-hmm. and they hear it, you know.
Yeah. And you do have to listen to the words, I would say, because their words really, they're important.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
really good. Although the costumes are fabulous.
Oh, my
girl.
God. Bieber
oh,
Bauer.
My God.
Bieber Bauer is the most amazing costumer
so
ever.
Right now she's wearing this like angel wing thing with like velvet and like little fabulous cut out things. It's awesome. It's really good.
It is. It's quite majestic.
And like all the different characters, they're in an insane asylum, but they're in the French Revolution. So there's like crazy stylings on the coattails and ooh, it's just glorious.
Yeah. The detail that she's come up with all of her costumers is just absolutely incredible. Like even today she's like, I put red ribbons on your hat for your last visit and bump, you know, she's yeah. incredible. So, and it just looks beautiful when you see it in the lighting and everything. So it's nice to, it's like visually interesting. And then it really is interesting to listen to as well.
And know? Powerfully insane. Like the insanity of all the characters, especially when they start doing it all at once, you're like, oh,
it's like a whole lot of crazy.
I got chills so many times, and not just because it's chilly in here.
Yeah, that's a lot of crazy.
Yeah, totally. Bunny Suval, it's been great to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
I loved your portrayal of Charlotte Corday. It was really great.
Thank you very much.
Riot Girl, so fabulous. So mortifyingly, this is the second time I've watched an entire play with Tom Orr in it and been completely clueless. You must be the either like a total actor who completely disappears in his role, or maybe I need to get my vision checked.
Well, I was born on Meryl Streep's 21st birthday.
Oh.
And I'm a karma chameleon.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I like to disappear into my roles. The nicest compliment anyone can say to me is, oh my God, were you in the show?
Oh my God.
I have completely disappeared into characters.
In Hot Greeks, he had the biggest, reddest, sparkliest penis that I was completely mesmerized by. And I watched the whole play. And then at the very end, I was like, is that Tom Orr? As you're like totally leaving the building. And I didn't get a chance to interview. It was mortifying and sad all at the same time.
It's okay.
So in this play, you played Cocol or...
Cocole.
Cocole.
Yes, if you're saying it in English.
Yes.
Cocole en français. Cocole in English, yes.
And so what does that, what was, besides having fewer teeth, what was your character all about?
Well, I'm one of the four singers. Mm-hmm. As you know, Marat Saad is a musical.
I know,
unlikely
I love the fact
musical.
That it's a musical because it's so dark. And
officially, it's a play with music, they call it. But because it won Best Play mm-hmm. in 65, it did not win Best Musical because it's not a traditional musical by any stretch. But thank God for the four singers. There's Rossignol, who's Connie Champagne. Polpak is Christopher Nelson. Jamie Harkin plays Kukuruku, and I am Kakol. And the four singers are the comic relief. We're the Shakespearean clown scene to lighten the mood, to break the tension after the executions, after the beatings, after the narcolepsy, after all the talk of death and revolution and greed and religion and horror and hunger, all these things. And now it's time for a song. But there are these odd
Even in the middle of the murder.
Absolutely. Like, well, we interrupt the murder can show you 15 glorious years.
Oh, is it only 15?
Yeah, it's because the play is set in 1808.
15. Oh, I get it.
And the revolution happened in 1793. Marat was killed today. Happy anniversary, Marat. Happy death day.
Yes.
219 years ago today. He was murdered in his bathtub. But where were we going with this?
Lighthearted?
Oh, no, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cruelty. Mm-hmm. This show is considered of theater of the cruelty. Cruel theater. Mm-hmm. Not only is it a giant fuck you to the audience. Mm-hmm. Any show that lifts its middle finger to the audience and says, you're partly responsible for anything that's going on here.
Right.
But
and at the end, you're free. You're free. And we're all like,
free to go. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But poor Mara is in his bathtub, and just before he gets murdered, we stop the play to show him what he's going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And that song demonstrates 15 years.
It's all pointless.
That it's worse than when you started. Right. You got rid of the king, and by the end, 15 years later, you've got Napoleon as the emperor. I mean, king is bad enough, but now it's an empire.
Right.
It's beyond dictator. And
lots more dead people.
And there's lots more dead people, and the rich are just as rich, and the church is just as evil, and it's just so futile and sad. Mm-hmm. But we make it funny, because that's what you do with comedy, is you take tragedy and you put a smile on it and twist the knife a little. Because you have to laugh at it, otherwise it's going
to
kill you.
Well, and it's important to pay attention, like to continue talking about it. And if you can't talk about it in a serious voice, well, then if you're talking about it in a funny voice, like,
well, that's
hey,
the
that's
way to get people
too.
To listen.
Right.
That's like Lenny Bruce comedy, where mm-hmm. you say something funny, now they're listening. They're waiting for you to say something else that's funny. And before you do, you twist the knife. You punch them in the gut with right. something serious, the thing they have to hear that they won't listen to. As soon as someone thinks they're being lectured, mm-hmm. they shut down.
Totally.
You say one word that's a Fox News propaganda buzzword that some Republican think tank has dreamed up that word specifically to trigger that response. Feminazi, for example. Poor Hillary, God love her, would be a fabulous president. It will never happen because there are 500 million Pavlovian retards out there who hear the name Hillary Clinton and automatically think feminazi. She should be grooming Chelsea to take over in 15 years, whatever. 15 glorious years. I digress. So thank God for the quartet of
right.
singers.
No,
because
totally
we keep
reason.
It light,
right.
we keep it happy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fun thing is this is all based in fact where the Marquis de Sade was locked away in this mm-hmm. asylum, and he did write these plays to be performed by the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
But he would also bring in guest stars from Paris, from the legitimate stage, from the opera stage, to play the singing roles and entertain the bourgeoisie mm-hmm. of Charenton, who would come, let's go see a play performed by the inmates. How novel,
oh,
how clever.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, they're sort of being like, their ideals are assaulted,
yes.
and the social revolution, they're running out. The doctor is this great character. He's always like, stop the... Oh, you can't say that part. No. And he's like running after the Marquis, like, you can't... We took that part out.
Yeah.
It's the most
exciting.
Now.
It's the most exciting production I've ever been a part of. Certainly the biggest spectacle. Huge cast, and everyone is just bringing their A game.
Mm-hmm.
Russ has been an amazing director. Russ has, I've now done 3 shows with him. I did Pearls Over Shanghai and Hot Greeks and now this. And it's like I suddenly got my MFA in theater history.
Right.
And theater theory and polemics and French Revolution history
mm-hmm.
and the history of the theater, the ridiculous, all these things that come together. And then, of course, mm-hmm. we've got Scrumbly on the piano, my dear beloved Scrumbly,
mm-hmm.
who has musical directed.
The original Coquette.
The original Coquette. And he... musical directed My Dirty Little Show Tunes and I Feel a Thong Coming On and mm-hmm. Tom Oren, A Crass Act. So it's been really fun to venture out of my safe territory into this whole new world of really advanced theater.
Mm-hmm.
That things, shows that I
oh,
never would
crazy.
Have guessed would be
yeah,
on my
right?
resume. So
the quote from Marat Sade, from Marquis de Sade, when he talks about how he wants to be obliviated,
mm-hmm.
where he wants to completely disappear. And then the huge irony is that the Marquis de Sade's never going to disappear, and he's going to be misunderstood for the rest of human history.
The leather daddy of all time.
I know.
There wouldn't be a Folsom Street Fair without the Marquis de Sade.
Totally. Like, everyone's going to be like, he's a monster. He's like the kinky hero forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
but he was
never.
A poet and a philosopher and a great thinker and
and, you know, people
forward
think
thinker.
His opus is something that he wrote on toilet paper when he was
nope.
in prison.
30 feet long. In the tiniest writing. But it's funny, in Marat Sade, you'd think after all these years, he would be giving the flogging, not getting it. But apparently Sade is a big old bottom. And on
well,
that
you know,
note...
I'm sure he goes both ways. You know what I mean? Someone who really loves sensation, you know? Well, Tom Orr, it's been such a pleasure to
Monica,
see you. And by the way,
always.
Whose penis was that?
Which?
The penis that I saw right
well,
there.
Darling.
I was like, I'm so glad I moved to the front row.
It's
just what we could say it's someone
it's
else's.
It's a Tom Orr show, and it is in my contract that I have to show the goods. So.
Yay!
Give the audience what
I
they ask
it.
For.
I was like, wait a minute. And as I'm like, oh, Tom Orr was in the show, and I'm talking to Tom Orr, oh, I think that was his, I think I just saw his penis.
I think my penis is going to get its equity card before I do.
Woohoo! Ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous Mr. Tom Moore. Thank you for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you, Monica. Mwah.
You can get tickets to Marat Saad at thrillpeddlers.com. Shows are Wednesday through Sunday until July 29th at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. Hard to say who wins a revolution. Unless it's the pleasure revolution where everyone wins because it's consensual. What do you want? We'll talk more about desire and social justice on the next episode of Sexploration with Monica, where we pretend to just be talking about sex. And really, we're cheering on the pleasure revolution. Don't miss an episode by subscribing on iTunes. Archived episodes, free downloads, and photos at sexplorationwithmonica.com.